Good Saturday morning. This is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. How are you? I'm glad to be here this morning. Hope you are too. You know, this show is about investing. It's about investors. It's about looking for the best opportunities that are out there in the marketplace these days. And we focus on a couple of areas. We look for good, strong, good neighbor companies, companies that are doing things in the community, things that are good to their employees, things that are good to their customers, and things that are good for the environment. Those kinds of companies are socially responsible. They're sustainable companies, and they make the best investments. You know why? They don't blow up. They don't give you surprises that are of a non-financial nature. I mean, accidents happen, you know what I'm talking about. But other than that, how a company conducts itself in the marketplace has everything to do with how good of a neighbor they are. And that's who we're looking for. We're looking for good neighbor companies. If you're looking for dividends, you need dividends for income as part of your plan. Believe me on that. Because of inflation, these are where you want to look. The second area we look for is good growth opportunities. Where are the emerging industries? You know, back in the 90s, emerging industries were all about technology and computers. That was the whole deal. Remember the internet? Maybe you don't remember if you're a younger person, but there was a time not too long ago when the internet was not part of our lives. Forget about texting. But now the internet is so tightly woven in our lives that we can't imagine living without it. But I'll tell you what, 20 years ago you could because you had to. Now we look for companies in emerging industries such as solar power, wind energy, smart electric grid infrastructure, water, not just water power, but now water quality and water quantity. Probably, well, not probably, without doubt, the most irreplaceable thing in our lives. There's nothing that replaces water. Today, we're going to talk about something else that's really pretty much irreplaceable. Everybody needs to have some place to live. And we think about our homes as our sanctuary. We think about our homes as critically important, whether we're renting a home or owning a home. Today, we're going to talk to people who are owning their homes. And I have a few ideas for you about your homes. Here's some comments. I want you to think about which comments or which thing I say here matches up the most with your current experience. And after I introduce our guest, I'm going to ask you to think about and tell me, silently, of course, what your favorite comment is, and then I'm going to go on from there. Here's some comments. My home is where I feel safe. The best part of my day is coming home. Home is where the heart is. Home is where I feel the most comfortable. I can't breathe in this house. I just need more room. Things just don't seem quite right here. What's happened? These are all comments and thoughts I've heard from people. I've said a few of those myself from time again. Today, our guest is Beverly Housechild Barron. She is Executive Vice President of the American Institute of Architects, Minnesota. Beverly, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
You're welcome. Beverly, what does the Executive Vice President of AIA do?
Well, I'm a very fortunate person. I've got the best job in the world. I get to work with architects every day. Architects are very lively, creative, fun, interesting, curious people. And our organization represents 2,200 members across the state of Minnesota. We do a variety of things for our members and involve our members and engage them in a lot of different things, including education. Architects are required to have education throughout their careers to keep up on new technologies, new trends, new things that are going on in the profession. We also lobby at the legislature. Architects run small businesses for the most part, although there are many large firms as well. And we also publish a magazine called Architecture Minnesota that features the work of our members.
Okay. Very interesting. So, you know, I hadn't thought about that aspect of architects as business owners.
They are indeed. And since we're going to be talking about residential work, most of the architects who do specialize in residential work are small business owners. Their practices tend to be 3, 4, 5, 10 people at most.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And I think this is a great topic for us. I think, as we explore this topic today, I think everybody will hear that architects are really at the core of the whole topic about people's homes. All right. So now, I asked a few questions or made a few comments. A home is where you feel safe. Best part of the day is coming home. I can't breathe in this house. We need more room. We need more room. My goodness. Who hasn't said that about their house at some point? I just need more space. I need to have more room. My question to you, here's the key question. More room for what? What do you need more room for? Have you thought about that? Things change in your life, you know. Things don't stay the same in relationships, whether it's relationships with people, relationships with your job, relationships with your home, relationship with the spaces around you. We need more room. Beverly, what do you think people mean when they say they need more room?
I think for the most part today, people are realizing that they need different room. That the homes, especially people who have lived in their homes for a while, have changed their lifestyle. I think families are different and operate differently than they used to. I think children are much more integrated into family life. And small rooms divided up for specific purposes no longer really work for people. Mm-hmm. And I think they're looking for different space, not necessarily more room, but room that's configured in a way that suits their lifestyle.
Absolutely. You know, the families are changing part's really interesting. When I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, I was born in 1950. Anybody that wants to know what my age credibility is here. When I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, I was the oldest of seven children, and my family moved around a bit. My dad was a professional and in the financial services business, and he got promoted on a regular basis. And back in those days, they didn't mind, the corporations didn't mind moving you from, in my case, Texas to Phoenix, to Los Angeles, to San Francisco, to Minneapolis, all in a period of 9 years when I was growing up. And in between there, of course, then there's a matter of schools and, you know, the different gradations. And I went to seven schools in 12 years growing up. Kind of a weird experience. My therapist and I talk about this often, you know what I'm saying? But we had the experience where our home was really, for the seven kids and the two adults, some bedrooms where there were three or four of us in the bedrooms. Y'all remember that. There was a kitchen, there was an eating area, there was a bathroom, and then there was the great outdoors. And how many people remember hearing their parents say, go outside and play? Well, one of the reasons where you had to go outside and play was there was no place to go inside the house. Houses were built to do just the one thing, and that was to provide, like I said, bedrooms, a place to eat and cook, and bathrooms. What are homes like these days? We've gone through a lot of changes the last 40 years.
I think maybe 15 years ago, Sarah Susanka started a movement where she eventually wrote a book called The Not-So-Big House. And I think that was revolutionary for a lot of people to begin thinking about the space that they have and how they use it and how they want to use it. And again, life has changed so much. When you mentioned earlier the internet wasn't around a number of years ago, well, every child today has a computer. Every family home has computers, cell phones. All of these things, not to mention the computer games and things like that that the kids get involved in. And so life has changed quite dramatically, and I think that people are feeling that when they say, I need more space or something's not quite right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe when you started out, if you built a house back in the 80s, let's say when you had little kids, maybe you had the foresight to build a great room at that time, but you probably didn't have the foresight to have a space where the kids could do the kid things. The computer games. I mean, you know, these days, it's everywhere. You know, you have to, I know in my households, I've had to convert with my children. I'm now an empty nester, but with my teenage children, we had to create spaces in the space that we had to allow them to do the things they wanted to do online. Of course, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people these days have Wii's, and other kinds of successors of that and other kinds of video games, space has to be made for those things. Who makes those decisions about how to expand space or create new space? Is that obviously the homeowner says, I need to do something different, but who do they talk to about that?
Well, we like them to talk to an architect. I think architects are trained to think visually. They are very visual people, and they understand what space is all about, how space can enable people to do the things that they want to do. And homeowners do work with architects to help them identify what it is, the things that are most important in their homes and how they relate to each other, whether the kitchen is the most important place or the living room or the family room, and also how when and where people need to have their own private space. Mm-hmm. And so that's changed pretty dramatically.
Well, that sounds like you're a coach.
Exactly. An architect really is a coach for the homeowner and for their clients mm-hmm. to really sort out, ask lots and lots of questions about how the family lives, the things that are important, how they connect or not connect to their neighbors, what the inside relationship is to the outside, and how they want to utilize that.
Mm-hmm. So as a coach, I don't have the right phrase here. I don't like the phrase lifestyle anymore. It's like, it's descriptive if you break the word up, life and style. But it gets used for everything these days. I don't have a better word, but it seems to me like a lifestyle coach would be someone who would help people think through these very issues. And when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what a lifestyle coach, what an architect acts as a consultant, and how that kind of a person can really help you with your thinking on these things. Well, anyway, we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes here. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm Mike Mullins, and don't leave. Mike Mullins here, host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show and a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management, announcing my new workshop, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity. Green is the buzzword in America today. Green building, green architecture, green industries and companies, green spaces, green thinking, it's all going green. So do you wonder what this all means and how it affects your life? That's why I'm offering a brand new workshop, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity, this coming Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Dunn Brothers by the Eden Prairie Library after the store closes to the public. Scott Metz of Calvert Funds and I will present the information you need to understand how the green revolution is changing our world and how you can position your investments to get lots of exposure to the green revolution. Register today online at michaelwmullins.com and click on the link or call weekdays to 612-371-2984. The seminar is free. It's at Dunn Brothers by the library in Eden Prairie on Wednesday, June 23, 2010, this Wednesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Refreshments are complimentary. Register right away for this unique chance to really get the green revolution.
Stop by AM 950's offices anytime during regular business hours and check out Solar Midwest solar tubes that are filling our offices with natural daylight. We've turned off our artificial lights and brightened every cubicle, the entryway, conference room, even the bathrooms. Learn why Solar Midwest solar tube and Solar Star attic fan are so revolutionary that they qualify for a 30% tax credit. Visit their showroom in Plymouth and talk directly to Tom, the owner, or go online at solarmidwest.com.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-585-2060. 800-585-2060. 800-585-2060.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community. Among the recipients were the Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma and the Kickapoo Tribe of Kansas. The Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma used their $1 million SMSC grant to purchase Indian City USA Cultural Center, which serves as a vast outdoor museum to provide visitors with a historically accurate series of reconstructed American Indian villages. And the Kickapoo Tribe of Kansas funded a new administrative center to house the tribal government. The new 26,000-square-foot facility will provide a centralized building with all major tribal departments under one roof. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
You're listening to the music of Laura Caviani. She is a good friend of mine. She's a good friend of my family's. And she is graciously allowing us to use this wonderful jazz music on her show. You can check her out at lauracaviani.com. That's LauraCaviani.com. You can look around. You can see what she's got. The album that this music is from is available on the website. I would encourage you to find her playing around town. Google her. Find out where she's at. Laura Caviani, thank you very much. Well, this is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and I am with my guest, Beverly Housechild Barron, the Executive Vice President of the American Institute of Architects, Minnesota. And Beverly and I have been talking about homes and home design. We're just about to get into talking about how architects work as a consultant. You know, the idea of using a consultant for a lot of people who are cost conscious revolves around the idea of, first and foremost, the first three things are interested in knowing is, how much does she cost, how much does it cost, how much do they cost? Those are the top three things that a lot of people think about. But, you know, in my business, too, as a financial consultant, in the business for 25 years myself, I can tell you that there are some people that are investors who really don't need a financial consultant. They have an aptitude, they have insights, they have knowledge, they have time, and they have the interest, and sometimes they have the skill to be good, successful investors. A lot of people either don't have the time for it, who may be skilled and maybe have the interest, or may be even, you know, CFOs and financial people themselves, but don't really have the time or the aptitude to spend doing that. They'd rather have a consultant work with them and advise them. The same thing is true, in my view, when it comes to architects as consultants. We just talked a minute ago about an architect as really kind of a home coach to help you think about what kind of spaces you need to design if you're building a new home, or if you're thinking about remodeling your home. How do you go about deciding? When you say, I need more room, we just need to have more space, somebody needs to be able to say, tell me what that is. What is it you mean when you say that? Well, you may say, we need more room for our teenage kids to be able to be online, or we need more room for this, or we need more room for that. This kitchen's too small. I can't breathe in this kitchen. I've heard that one, by the way, at home myself. We did something about that a couple of years ago, believe me. But the idea of a consultant as a coach is a really intriguing idea, and I see an architect very much as like that. How does that sound to you?
Mike, I think you're exactly right, that an architect is a consultant and is a coach. I think you're also right that people do worry a bit about the money that they have to spend on a consultant, whether it's a financial planner or an architect or anyone else. But I think they need to think more in terms of the value that's added for them. And the architect brings so much value in terms of their knowledge of, in the case of a home, the efficiencies that they can bring to bear on a home design, and the efficiencies that they can bring to, rather than a family saying they need 4,200 square feet, which translates into money.
That translates into a lot of empty rooms for people,
too. It can indeed. Mm-hmm. But it also then means that the architect can help them be more efficient in how they use that space, and also how the architect can be more efficient and help them determine some of the features of the home, the products that are used, the systems that are used that are, in fact, going to save them money in the future.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and that's a big area in this show. This is a show about socially responsible investing. Another word in the SRI is sustainable investing. We'll talk about sustainability a little bit later in the show. But the idea of sustainability has a lot to do with, as you say, the efficiencies involved. And it's not just a matter of something working a little bit better. It may be a matter of replacing systems altogether. So when an architect is working with someone who's thinking about designing a home, it's not just about how big should the spaces be, but it's also how does the whole system work better, right?
That's exactly right. And how, for example, the heating system, a new upgraded heating system, will save the homeowner a great deal of money over the life cycle of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one example.
Well, who decides that when you're building a house? Is that something, if you go to a contractor to build a house, are they connected with architects in a way so they get that kind of advice? Or do contractors already know about high-efficiency heating systems?
I think there are some contractors, certainly, that do know all about those things. I think the role of the architect is really to be the consultant to the homeowner and to represent the best interests of the homeowner and to help guide the homeowner in understanding some of these efficiencies that might initially cost more money, but over the long term will save the homeowner in terms of monthly fees that they would have to pay.
Right. Well, that reminds me of a sort of a parallel experience. I have a good friend that's about to go in for some heart surgery. And she has consulted with several doctors now, which is a good thing to do because this is serious business. And I think about home building is kind of like heart surgery in a way, because you really need to be thinking about what your outcome is that you want, what you want to come out with. What kind of health results does my friend have to look forward to after she has the surgery? What's the right set of procedures that's going to get her the outcome? Well, that's not really her decision. That's the doctor's decision. That's the consultant's decision, if you will. The medical consultant happens to be the surgeon in this case. So that she's willing to undergo the surgery in order to have the healthy heart, and we presume, therefore, a full life. So when she's looking at that, she should be thinking about, first and foremost, what her outcome is that she wants. Then she needs to be thinking about things like, how do I pay for this? I'm not saying that hospital costs aren't important. It's just that these days there's a lot of insurance available out there for people. So let's assume that that gets handled. That gets to be an issue. What about, like, I think an architect is a consultant like that as well, because you're looking at what the outcome is for the family or the individuals that want to build a home, right?
Exactly. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I have the best job in the world because architects are very creative. Architects have actually operate on both the right and left side of their brain. They're very creative, but they also have the science side, the research side, and they are able to bring together disparate pieces of information and provide an outcome that's going to be in the best interest of the homeowner.
Well, that raises a question for me. This is a little sidebar here. How does a person decide to be an architect? I mean, are they skilled at graphic design? Are they math science majors? What kind of people you find are architects?
I would say both. And frequently, people know when they're very young that they want to be an architect. They do have that very creative side where they're artists and they sketch and they enjoy that kind of thing, but they also understand math and they are very practical in that sense too. So they do have to bring both of those skills together, and I think the result is great.
What about the people skills involved?
That's something that's probably the most important thing for an architect, being able to communicate with their clients, whether it's a homeowner or somebody building a hospital. They have to be able to understand what the client is looking for. They have to be able to communicate about spatially, that the average person isn't really able to understand space in the same way that the architect does. And that's one of the most important skills that the architect has, is to communicate and listen to what the client is really interested in.
And be a good questioner.
Being a good
listener, for sure.
Fortunately, that's another quality that architects have. They're very curious people, and asking questions is just second nature to them.
That's terrific. Well, I think these are the kind of people that you want to consider when you're thinking about making changes in your home. And we'll talk a little bit more about the larger picture. How does this all relate to the socially responsible investing idea, the sustainable? And we're going to talk about sustainability. We've talked a couple times in the last few months about that. We're going to touch on it again today. And we're going to stay with Beverly. You can stay for another segment?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to talk about sustainability and the responsibilities that architects have. So you can have, by the time that this next segment over is, you'll have a pretty good picture of how this all fits into a social responsible, a social consciousness. So this is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and we'll be right back. Don't leave.
As we saw in 2008, watchful journalism makes for good elections. But since newspapers have trimmed their reporting staffs, who will be watching the governor's race for you? This year, count on The Uptick to record and MinnPost to report, bringing you the most comprehensive campaign coverage in the state. But we need your help. You can send us free money. Just go to spot.us and take a survey. You'll get $5 in credits that you can donate to our campaign coverage. Go to spot.us and send free money to The Uptick and MinnPost today.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
When you think of buying or selling your next home, then you need a Duckwall team with Edina Realty and Charles Daly from iLoan. Tune into our Twin Cities Real Estate Radio Show on this station Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m. We will help answer your questions, take your comments, and have new topics and interesting guests each week. When it is time to move, remember the Duckwall team and Charles Daly from iLoan for all your real estate needs. Call us anytime at 651-344-0621. That's 651-344-0621.
Hard-hitting interviews, news-making guests, and incisive analysis. It's on Meet the Press this Sunday. We invite you to tune in this week for the very best in political debate. Exclusive interviews with the world's newsmakers and roundtable discussions with the leaders in the fields of journalism, politics, and history. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. Sunday nights from 5 to 6 on AM 950, the voice of Minnesota.
In the era of the internet and MP3 players, it's easy to underestimate the continuing impact of traditional media, such as radio, on local communities. Scholars who study radio are learning much about the power of this medium in both historical and contemporary contexts. And some of them are concluding that radio, much like the late Rodney Dangerfield, doesn't always get the respect that it deserves. Next week on Access Minnesota, a look at radio and its place in our daily lives.
Sunday mornings at 7:30 on AM 950.
Please join us again this year for Park Tavern's annual Father's Day brunch on June 20th. Seatings run from noon until 3. Plus, the entire family is invited to 1 hour of complimentary bowling. Priced again this year at $12.95 adults, $10.95 seniors, $8.95 kids, and little ones 5 and under are free. Call now for more details and reservations. We hope to see you on Father's Day at the Park Tavern. 952-929-6810. That's 952-929-6810. Or online at parktavern.net.
Weather brought to you by Dyna Bike and Sport, and we are looking at partly sunny skies today as we see a high near 77 this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, 61 for your overnight low. Then a slight chance for some showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, Sunday, a high near 80 degrees. Find everything you need to enjoy the warm weather at Edina Bike and Sport. Their helpful staff will help you find the perfect bike and accessories. And right now, bikes starting as low as $199.
Welcome back. The Socially Responsible Investing Show on the radio Saturday morning. Mike Mullins, your host. My guest today is Beverly Hauschild Barron, Executive Vice President of the American Institute of Architects, Minnesota. We've been talking about homes and home building and the architect as a consultant. I want to take a moment before we go on to thank my sponsors, Wizard Academy here in Eden Prairie, Claude Chenard, a good friend of mine. They do a great job of tutoring in the areas of math and English. These are very important times right now in the summertime for your students, your children, maybe yourself, to brush up or to move forward, or you had some things that didn't work quite as well last school year, you need to get ready for the next year. Call the Wizard Academy, Claude Chenard, right here in Eden Prairie. Also want to thank Ken and Sharon, the owners of the Dunn Brothers, by the library in Eden Prairie, which is going to be the site of my workshop this coming Wednesday. The people here at AM 950 go over there for coffee real, real often. Believe me, very, very often. I buy my fresh roasted beans there exclusively. I like to have my beans be fresh enough where they've just been roasted in the last few days. I don't know if you know this, but beans get real stale real quickly after about 14 days. So, you know, it depends on how you like your coffee, I guess. But go over to the Dunn Brothers. It's a great place to meet people. If you're a networker, go over there and meet some folks. You'll find it's a great place, not as noisy as a lot of other shops which will go unnamed. All right, back to the show here. We were talking about home building and talking about architects as coaches, and I want to talk a little bit about architects as people that are responsible in society and how this connects up with the whole idea of socially responsible, social consciousness, sustainable consciousness, these kinds of things. Back in 1987, the United Nations released a report which defined sustainable development as, quote, you can write this one down, this is the benchmark for the definition, sustainability, development which meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Development which meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. As you probably could guess, this is a pretty good trick to do because it causes you to have to think brand new thoughts about how things are designed. Sustainable design. This is from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Google it yourself if you want to read along with me. Just kidding. Sustainable design, which is also called environmental design, environmentally sustainable design, and environmentally conscious design, is the philosophy of designing physical objects, the built environment, and services to comply with the principles of economic, social, and ecological sustainability. The intention of sustainable design is to eliminate negative environmental impact completely through skillful, sensitive design. Now, why this is important is that the difference between sustainable and green is with sustainable, you're looking to really completely eliminate environmental impact through skillful, sensitive design, construction, implementation, and think through what the implications are of what you're using. For example, if you've got, well, this is off the topic a little bit, if you've got an electrical grid in the United States, which we have here, which is generated by power plants, which are fired by coal, it causes you to think about the impact of coal, dust, smoke, residue, etc., on the environment, not just what you can see, but what you can breathe. So then you have to kind of think back down the line. Well, if I wanted to get rid of coal-fired electrical plants, what would I have to do? Well, pretty obviously, you'd have to have an alternative means of generating electricity, which doesn't use coal. All right, so that's what I'm talking about. It's the idea of eliminating completely the negative environmental impact. And applications of this philosophy range from the small objects for everyday use, the microcosm, through buildings, cities, and the Earth's physical surface, the macrocosm. It's a philosophy that can be applied to the fields of architecture, landscape architecture, urban design, urban planning, engineering, you name it, just about everything. Well, the reason this is important is because sustainable architecture, then, is the design of sustainable buildings within this whole sustainable design idea. Sustainable architecture attempts to reduce the collective environmental impacts during the production of the building components themselves, during the construction process, as well as during the life cycle of the building, which is the energy and resources that are used for heating, electricity, as we were just talking about. Even carpet cleaning is one of those issues. It sounds like it's a small thing, but you think about all the office buildings in the country and how many of those floors are carpeted, all of them. So what you clean, what you use to make carpeting is important. What happens to the used carpeting when you get ready to replace it is important. I mean, this seems like small things until you realize the scale of what we're talking about. It's not just your living room with the carpet, but it's entire buildings. Like, think about replacing all the carpet in the IDS Center downtown. What do you do with that stuff? It sure be nice if we could recycle all that stuff and make something else with it, but not necessarily. We have to think about this. Design practice emphasizes the efficiency of heating and cooling systems, alternative energy sources such as solar hot water, appropriate building siting so that you can control the runoff, for example, the use of reused or recycled building materials, on-site power generation such as solar technology, ground source heat pumps, wind power. If you think about rainwater harvesting for gardening and washing, that's more like for your home, on-site waste management, such as green roofs that filter and control stormwater runoff. I mean, there's all of these things seem like they're overwhelming. There are so many things to think about. Who thinks about this stuff? Architects, Beverly, do you think?
Absolutely, they think about it. And in fact, architects have been thinking about this for many decades. And you mentioned the 1980s, and at that time I remember that we had a national convention here in Minneapolis, and the theme of that convention was a line on design and energy. And they were focused on energy in the 80s, and when you think about the evolution of how we are where we are now, starting with energy consciousness, green products, and now sustainability and thinking into the future. Architects are very involved in that thinking and very involved in working. You mentioned green roofs, and the new Minneapolis Public Library downtown is one of the first examples of a green roof in Minneapolis, a city-owned, actually I don't know the ownership, city or county, but they've implemented a green roof. Same thing has now happened with the Target Center downtown. Mm-hmm. These are great things that are going to help our community.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about urban runoff. We had a guest on our show was Whitney Clark, who's the executive director of the Friends of the Mississippi River, which is a nonprofit in town here that that works with about a 100-mile stretch of the Mississippi River to help clean and manage and monitor watersheds. Because the biggest cause of pollution, by the way, in the Mississippi River is watershed that's coming from out in the country, what they call non-point specific. So it's fields and farms and such. But urban runoff is a big deal for us here in town, too, because when we have thunderstorms like we're likely to have any time now, you end up with this deluge of water. And maybe you know this. If you listened to the show a few weeks ago, you probably heard me say this. The water that goes into the storm drain, whether it's off of the parking lot by the Target or the Walmart or the IKEA, goes right into rivers and lakes untreated. So all the gas and oil and trash and candy wrappers and cigarette butts that people leave around end up in the river, and then they've got to be filtered out. 100% of the drinking water for the city of Minneapolis comes from the Mississippi River and most of the St. Paul. So these are important issues. The whole idea of design for these big box stores is something we talked about. And I would certainly think that when you think about your home, thinking about where the runoff goes from your roof. A lot of people are talking about getting rainwater collection barrels that they'll attach to their downspouts. It's more than just a tree-hugging thing. It really has a lot to do with us, each of us doing sort of our part, if you will, to manage our own resources, manage the Earth's resources, rain being one of them. How do architects get involved in those kinds of aspects?
Well, architects work collaboratively with engineers. They work with landscape architects and a lot of new technology that is coming to the market. They work with the people who are developing that. So it's not one profession working alone, but all of them working together to really understand the implications of all of the things that are going on in our environment. Mm-hmm. And I think that the architects are very, as I mentioned earlier, are very curious people. They like understanding how things work, and they do work with the engineers and with the product people who design them.
So when we're talking about design, something you and I chatted about a couple of times here has to do with this movement that's been going on for a long time to converting commercial buildings to living spaces, lofts. You remember the movie Ghost from the 1980s, one of my favorite movies? That's what they were doing there, was converting a commercial space. Back in those days, they didn't realize that 25-foot ceilings were a little wasteful when it comes to energy. But, you know, the idea was is to reuse a commercial space. When that happens, how does the architect help with that design?
Well, using an existing building is the ultimate in sustainability. Historic preservation is really one of the best ways that we can help our future survive. Mm-hmm. And I think the architect is typically they enjoy seeing the older buildings because they appreciate the craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. There are many ways that they can utilize that space, and sometimes it's very complicated and very expensive. But again, if you think about the life cycle of that building and the value that it brings to the richness of the community, to enrich the community, I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I know my wife would like to move downtown. We live in Eden Prairie here, but she thinks about the attractions downtown. There's a lot of great restaurants. It seems like every couple years there's a new top restaurant that gets opened as people's tastes and interests change. There's the Guthrie, obviously, downtown. In St. Paul, there's the Ordway, all these great venues out farther afield. And I think there's a lot of attractiveness to that. And we can't talk about that anymore today, unfortunately, but the idea of designing communities and designing, converting buildings in areas for the sake of having a sustainable, self-contained kind of a community is something we'll explore at another time. Can we have you back and talk about that?
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
That's terrific. Our guest today is Beverly Housechild Barron, the Executive Vice President of the American Institute of Architects, Minnesota. We've been talking about homes, home building, the architect as a consultant, a little bit about sustainability and how important it is to think about these things when you're designing or converting your home. Beverly and I can be reached here at the radio station. Beverly, what is the website for AIA?
www.aia-mn.org.
All right, that's right. You can reach Beverly there if you have any questions or comments. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins, and we'll be right back for our final segment. Mike Mullins here, host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show and a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management. I'm announcing my new workshop, Green, the new color of investment opportunity. Green is the buzzword in America today. Green building, green architecture, green industries and companies, green spaces, green thinking, it's all going green. So do you wonder what this all means and how it affects your life? That's why I'm offering a brand new workshop, Green, the new color of investment opportunity, this Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Dunn Brothers by the Eden Prairie Library after the store closes to the public. Scott Metz of Calvert Funds and I will present the information you need to understand how the green revolution is changing our world and how you can position your investments to get lots of exposure to the green revolution. Register today online at michaelwmullins.com and click on the link or call weekdays to 612-371-2984. The seminar is free. It's at Dunn Brothers by the library in Eden Prairie on Wednesday, June 23, 2010, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Refreshments are complimentary. Register right away for this unique chance to really get the green revolution.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-549-5225. InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. So dial 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
You can smell the difference. Fresh smelling clothes, no chemical odors whatsoever. They only use CO2, not any harsh, toxic chemicals. Two locations in St. Louis Park and in South Minneapolis. mulberrycleaners.com.
Yes, it is Saturday morning. I hope you're having a good one. I hope you've enjoyed this show so far. It's a topic that, quite frankly, is an acquired taste. The idea of being a green investor is, or a green anything, a green homeowner, a green investor, a green car driver, are all things we've started to get used to that are becoming part of vocabulary of our times. But sustainability is one of those words, is one of those concepts that seems a little bit harder to say, well, give me an example, you know? And we've been talking about that today. Sustainability, just to go back to the original definition, is a development which meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. United Nations, 1987. In the large scheme of things, sustainable practices, another way to look at it, are things that are environmentally sound, socially equitable, and are economically viable. And of course, this is a definition that certainly applies to businesses. It applies to any kind of governmental body. These are standards which are becoming very well accepted in both government, clearly, as well as in the policies that we've had come out of Washington for a long time, as well as in businesses. And last week we talked about my company, RBC Wealth Management, and the Blue Water Project, which is their $50 million commitment to give grants and donations to non-governmental entities that are working to maintain, clean up, monitor watersheds around the world, as well as to try to ensure that there's clean water available for everyone, ideally. In architecture, sustainable means working to reduce environmental impacts from the production of building materials, during the construction process, and during the life cycle of the building. The use of electricity, water, heating, and the recyclability of things in a home, like old appliances and even carpet, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. Right. Well, those are all nice ideas, you know, but we all are busy. We all work for a living. We only have so much money that goes around. We've got a lot of stuff going on in our lives. I need to have some kind of immediate financial benefit to really give me that, maybe that last little kick in the tush to move towards some of these more sustainable or green kinds of things. Well, here I've got something that'll help you with that. A friend of mine sent this to me recently, and it's from, looks like a newspaper called the Seattle Daily Journal of Commerce from early May. It's an article that was written by a fellow that works for a company called Greenworks Realty. So there's probably actually a little bit of a incentive here, but it's good information. Sales data, it says here, for environmentally certified homes first became available in 2007 in Western Washington. As I say, this is a Seattle newspaper. Now real estate agents can note whether a home has certifications from Built Green, Energy Star, LEED for Homes, or third-party verification. And this company, Greenworks Realty, regularly monitors and tracks the Northwestern MLS data for homes that are environmentally certified, and they publish an eCert report that compares the median sales performance of these certified homes with non-certified homes, okay? The difference is notable and growing. In Seattle, the report revealed that certified homes make up 33% of the new home market. Now, check this out. They sold for a 9.1% premium per square foot and were on the market for 24% less time. That's important news. Further, from November 2009 through January 2010, King County, Seattle, non-certified homes continued to decrease in value as certified home values increased. Remarkably, it says here, green homes carried a $92,000 price premium, were 12.3% smaller, and continued to sell in less time than a non-certified home. In Seattle, third-party verified homes, which are often a, quote, deeper green home, sold for a 23.5% more per square foot in 10% less time. Wow. This is your incentive, folks. If you're thinking about building a new home or upgrading your home, this is where green becomes very important. These kinds of things that actually can be done now that benefits energy production, that in terms of it being lower, that provide a better quality and standard for what you breathe in your house is very important. Things that are made with non-toxic processes also don't carry a residue which can get up in the air. Sometimes you can smell it, sometimes you can't. It's a big deal. It's very important. Now, I'm going to be doing a workshop this Wednesday at the Dunn Brothers in Eden Prairie, right across the street from the library. I want you to see the invitation. If you go to my website, michaelwmullins.com, michaelwmullins.com, on my homepage, you will see a listing that says green, the new color of investment opportunity. Are you looking in the right places for the next wave of opportunity? Plan on catching my new seminar in June. Read more. If you click that, you'll find another page which has a bit more conversation, and it has the invitation embedded in a link. Click on the link, and up will come the invitation. And it tells you it's this Wednesday. It's at 6:30 to 7:45, 6:30 to 8-ish at the Dunn Brothers in Eden Prairie. Dunn Brothers closes at 6, so we're going to rent the space. And it's a very nice, large space, and we're looking forward to having a nice group of people. Thank you to all of you who have already registered. Looking forward to seeing you and meeting you. The idea of the seminar is kind of like this. When you think about green investing, it simply means investing in companies that develop, produce, or deliver products, service, or technology that serves consumer needs and improves the quality of our lives without placing undue stress on the environment or using natural resources inefficiently. And there's a sort of a so what quotient to that, but listen to this. Here's a story, and this is actually something from the seminar. Imagine a typical guy, we'll call him George. He's 45, he lives in Eden Prairie with his wife and two kids. Let's picture a typical day for our man, George. It might go something like this. It's 6 a.m. George wakes up in his brand new house, complete with energy-efficient windows, solar panels, and more environmentally friendly building materials than he knew existed. He switches on the compact fluorescent light next to his bed and starts the day. He showers in his water saver shower, not really liking the lower pressure, to tell the truth, but it's for a good cause. He heads down to the kitchen where he pulls free-range eggs and organic orange juice from his Energy Saver fridge. After breakfast, George takes out the recycling bin and grabs the Eden Prairie paper, noticing an article about something going on in town having to do with environmentally sound practices. He reads about a new wind farm in a neighboring town. Just then, the kids rush in, grab their reusable lunch bags and BPA-free water bottles, mentioning that they'll be taking a field trip to the local watershed today. Right around 7:30, there's a honk in the driveway as George's carpool buddy arrives in his new Ford Escape Hybrid, recently purchased in the Cash for Clunkers program. He arrives at his job. He heads off to his first meeting where it's announced that a task force is being formed to recommend a plan to help the company become more environmentally friendly. George is tapped to be on the team and learns that he will be asked to attend a workshop sponsored by the U.S. Green Building Council. Meeting adjourned, George returns to his office where his assistant has left a message that his wife will meet him for lunch at the new organic restaurant downtown, and it's still only 10 o'clock in the morning. It's amazing how green products and practices have infiltrated every aspect of our lives. Please come to the workshop. We're going to be talking about this. There are four principles and drivers for a greener world. They are in the areas of economics, policies, businesses, and lives. And we're going to be talking about this for about an hour. I really look forward to meeting you. Come out to the Dunn Brothers. Go to my website, michaelwmullins.com. Click on the link regarding the seminar. Click on the invitation. It shows you phone numbers and times and places to call. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. And today's been a very broad-ranging show about sustainability. We end up talking about the shorter-term impacts of green thinking and green lives. And I really embrace the idea that this is a way for us to live healthier, more fulfilling lives as human beings and better neighbors in society here in Eden Prairie and around town. See you next week.
AutoZone. Get ready to hit the road this season with a trip to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
If you're looking for a quick way to tune up your car, head to AutoZone and restore lost performance and improve your gas mileage with a buy one, get one free deal on Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner 12 ounces. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Tune up in time for your summer travels. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Honey, come here quick. We have a big problem.
Oh no, it's on the ceiling.
Fix it.
I can't fix this.
When the shit hits the fan, you need Artisan Plumbing and Remodeling, specializing in all your plumbing needs.
Union Plumbers, licensed, bonded, and insured, and ready for any emergency. Artisan Plumbing and Remodeling, 952-232-6392. That's 952-232.